it not like that. That's not our usual intro. Is that recorded in mono? I can never tell with the Beatles whether it's mono or stereo. This is Greg Brady without Carolyn Cameron, who did amazing work at the Olympics. I'm going to let you decide whether or not she was actually at there and taking a long overdue vacation in the process since the 2018 Winter Olympics ended. Phenomenal coverage here on Sportsnet, and Carolyn was great. I saw her at all hours of the morning and all hours of the evening and all hours of the afternoon. It was hard to tell. You lose track of time distinctly. One thing we wanted to provide you, though, while we're on a brief hiatus with more news to come about the podcast, news to come about the podcast to come, is a show that's going on downtown next week at the Princess of Wales Theater here in Toronto, Ontario. And it starts Tuesday night at 8 p.m. It's called Rain, a tribute to the Beatles. And it is that and then some. And I don't know that I would get as hugely personally involved in promoting something that I was not sure you need to experience if you're at all a fan of the Beatles. And I don't want to say who isn't, but we all have great debates about the greatest bands of all time, successful, unsuccessful, bands that are still rolling right now, like the Rolling Stones, like The Who to some extent. But this show is it's as much a tribute to the Beatles as it is a theatrical production. You'll see Beatles songs performed live, and you're going to see them next week play the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band in its entirety. And we're able to talk to a man named Paul who plays Paul McCartney in the Rain production. So it's Rain, a tribute to the Beatles. It's at the Princess of Wales Theater next week. I took my kids there 2 years ago to see it. All four of us went down, and we were just blown away. And it was kind of their first concert, and since then there have been other concerts. But what an indoctrination to go see these songs played live. And then you explain, you deal with questions that seven-year-olds ask, like, how did John Lennon die? Who's still alive? What album is this on? What album is your favorite? But that's all part of history. And you can't change history. All you can do is point towards the future. And it was awesome to kind of create. I felt like I was molding a couple less little now, 2 years later, Beatles fans. So we got a chance to talk to, Paul Curatolo in Cincinnati, Ohio, en route to Toronto for the show's next week at the Princess of Wales Theater, about the show, how he got involved. His father's been involved for a long chunk of time. And it's amazing that they've gone from it's a cover band type scenario to a full-scale theatrical tribute that can play amazingly nice venues, amazingly classy venues. And I can't wait to go next week either. I'm going to the one of the matinee shows. There's a couple matinees actually on Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday of next week, the 14th, 17th, and 18th. So here's my chat with Paul Curatolo as the Rain Beatles production comes to the biggest city in Canada. We can't wait to have them. Bit of a special show this year with the 50th anniversary of the release of Sgt. Pepper. One of the performers in Rain is Paul Curatolo, and he joins us right now on the phone from Cincinnati, Ohio, no less. So this is, are you in the full middle, Paul, of a North American tour? I know this goes to Buffalo after Toronto. When do you finish up and break for a little bit? How far are you into it?
You know, it's we're about starting our fourth week right now. So we just kind of started out of a 12-week tour. And after Toronto, we only have one more week before we get to go home for a week and let the dust settle.
Not so bad. You guys are here, Princess of Wales Theater, March 13th to 18th, which is great. It's our March break week for school being out, and we're hoping for better weather. And you've played in Toronto before. You've traveled in Toronto. Tell us about your Toronto experiences.
Yeah, this is going to be, I think, my fourth time back in Toronto, and I love it every time. I think I've memorized some streets and I know my way around. So I know my way to find Princess of Wales. I know how to find my favorite coffee shop and stuff like that.
That's not so bad. You play Paul McCartney. Your dad has done Paul as well. I know everyone asks you about the link and they have to because your dad's the show's musical director. But when did it start to feel real comfortable? Because anytime, you can switch a job or, date somebody new and it's exciting, but you're still not sure if it's all going to work and fit. When did you get real comfortable playing Mr. McCartney?
Right. Yeah, it took about three seasons mm-hmm. for me. You know, about three touring seasons to where I started to kind of mold it into my own craft. You know, before that, I was just kind of following the rules and doing what I'm told and, you know, playing the music and stuff like that. It still was an obsession of mine, but really I feel like I've honed in on the character and the music in my own right.
It's, I mean, to say it's a remarkable band and the legacy, I mean, just this week, 2 days ago, we're all celebrating what would have been George Harrison's 75th birthday. We don't do that with, I don't think we do that quite with other bands and other performers, but my entry point, I'm a little older than you in my mid-40s, so my entry point is knowing a few songs and then John Lennon's tragically shot and then diving into Paul's solo career and going back and listening to album after album after album. What was really the entry point for you into their music? Was it early Beatles? Was it later? Was it all at once, really?
It was kind of all at once because I grew up around it. So it was just always playing. I was always watching my father and all of his band members play it. So it just was kind of like seeded into me. So I could never really pinpoint exactly when. But when I started playing the drums at about 10 years old, I remember the first thing I'd ever learned to play was Day Tripper. So from there, it just blossomed into this full-blown musical obsession. I think the first album that I really gravitated to by myself was Abbey Road.
Yeah, that's we can't go wrong. That way you can't go wrong with Revolver, Rubber Soul, and we'll talk about Sgt. Pepper and going track by track into it. And Paul, it's incredible. Like Ed Sullivan show comes, he's 22 years old. So you're right in the age wheelhouse where this really works for you. And you got to play just a touch older, don't you, by the time the show's over and you're into songs from Abbey Road and Let It Be, right?
Right, exactly. It's a trip. You know, I'm kind of in the perfect decade of my life to where he was while he was in the Beatles. So it feels so authentic, you know, and it's such a dream come true to be able to tribute him and kind of feel what it was like to be in all that excitement at that age.
The one thing the show is obviously it can't do is dive into solo careers. I was talking with friends Saturday night about, everyone's favorite 100 songs ever. And my friend says to me, and he's about my age, he says, my favorite song ever, Band on the Run by Paul McCartney. There must be so many McCartney things that are late 70s or like, I think the album Tug of War with Ebony and Ivory and Take It Away was really, and I'm 9 years old when that's out. And then other stuff comes after that, even kind of kitschy stuff like Spies Like Us. I love all that. But this, when you hear that about Band on the Run, you're like, yeah, we can't really incorporate it into the show, but there's just this wealth of music that came after. And obviously we're lucky with Paul. He's still making it and still touring.
Right. And it just keeps getting better all the time. You know, like you said, the wealth of music. I mean, there's so many opportunities and so much to work with within their catalog that our show will forever be changing. You know, we can't ever make any promises of that'll never happen because, you know, it could definitely happen. So every year it's exciting to go back on a tour and ooh, what are we going to do next? Or what's going to be new and fresh? Because they gave you so much variety in their catalog.
Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, is at the Princess of Wales Theater. That's on King Street West, of course, March 13th to 18th. It's the matinee show on a Wednesday, too, but performances start on the Tuesday and a couple matinee shows on Saturday and Sunday. It's a long show. It's a bit of a, I'm sure it's a bit of a grind music, especially on those days when you're doing two of them with the intermission. The set doesn't change a ton, but like I said, we'll talk about Sgt. Pepper in a little bit. Are there ever things you guys and your dad included talk about including, adding, dropping? Bands do that from time to time. Things you think this would be such a fresh perspective on it.
Sure, absolutely. As is the show that we're returning to Toronto with now is pretty moved around at this point. Even with, you know, obviously Pepper is new into the show, but we've scattered out and moved a lot of things around Pepper too. Some new songs in the early bit that we hadn't played in Toronto in a long time. And a new costume change before Pepper, which is really exciting.
How much reading, Paul, have you done on the sort of legacy of the band and how songs were created? I'm a big rock biography guy. I love diving into what happened here, what happened. And yeah, sometimes the band breakup stuff is pretty juicy too. So you get some really explosive biographies out there. But how much sort of background work were you doing even as a teenager into what made this song tick? Why was this more a McCartney song than a Lennon song, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I was always fascinated by that myself. This big tell-all, we call it like the Beatle Bible, this big recording book had come out when I was a teenager that my dad got a copy of, which had every little, like, down to the cable and microphone that they used on which track and which album, every guitar that they used, every drum set they used, every amplifier. So that kind of stuff was so fascinating to know who played what on, like, say Pepper, it you'd be surprised how many times you'd think, oh, that's definitely a George Harrison riff, but it was Paul McCartney on the guitar or something like that, you know what I mean? Or you'd think that's got to be Paul playing the bass, but it was John, you know, things like that. They were such talented, multi-versed musicians that it was just this revolving door of endless possibilities in the studio when they went in there. They're still unmatched in terms of their innovation.
You're probably like me. Sometimes I think, look, when a rock star dies, we certainly elevate him to godlike status sometimes. And sometimes when the other one is still alive, it's, you know, there's hits and misses. I feel Paul sometimes gets a bad rap because you can't, how are you going to have 50 straight years of successes? And I also think he's not exactly just the ballad guy, just the start off track alone for Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band or Get Back. And I'm going, it's not like Lennon wrote all the rockers and McCartney wrote all the yesterdays. Far from it, in fact.
Right. Yeah, they all had their yin and their yangs. You know, John was very capable of writing very sweet love songs. I mean, one of their most touching songs in their catalog, I believe, is In My Life, and it was written by John Lennon. So they were so capable of writing everything from heavy rock and roll to sweet love songs and everything in between. That's why their catalog still stands the test of time.
I always look at that album too, and I see the track listings, and A Day in the Life obviously stretches out, and it's a few different songs in one, but I always find it amazing with most Beatles stuff, Paul, that they still could rein themselves in and edit. Some bands let it go and say, we're successful now. Let's make a 7-minute version of this without an edit. But Sgt. Pepper is so tight, almost every track. And it was the era, too. But every track is like 250, 310, 245. Really, really right. Tight pop songs.
Yeah, they still wanted to make a pop record. They just wanted to make it under an alias, which was kind of innovative in and of itself. You know, it was one of a kind. They created one of the first concept albums. And the idea was that John and Paul had was that they wanted to send the record out on tour rather than sending themselves on tour, which gave them so much more to work with in the studio and so much more technology that they can create what we hear today. And back then, they had limited technology, but they still created a record that most people in the recording industry today kind of scratch their heads and go, how did they do that?
Yeah, the technology didn't exist to make a lot of the sounds that it does now for everybody, obviously, with computers, but it didn't back then. Paul Curatola is our guest. Mervish presents Rain, a tribute to the Beatles. It's March 13th to 18th, coming up in a couple weeks at the Princess of Wales Theater. A few more questions for you. One, it has to do as much with how you're able to sort of, you know, play off what you do. It must be so much fun to talk to your friends about what you're doing and traveling the continent, and even strangers who say, what do you do for a living? And when you explain it, you must get some fascinating follow-up questions from people asking how that happened and how it all works.
Sure. My friends are extremely supportive. They're so proud of me. I miss them all dearly. But yeah, they think it's kind of, you know, random and odd and incredible all at the same time, and so do I. You know, it's a very weird job, but I love it so much, and people really love it. I mean, the music is first and foremost.
It's one of those things as well with the original songwriting. Do you find you'll get an idea, and it's tough, right? Because you don't want to, you know, nobody wants to nick a chord and say, I could use that for something, or I never noticed that before, but I can listen to a song the 20th time and I'll notice something with the bass or drums that I didn't notice before. Does that happen if you're ever thinking original songs and things that come into mind, or even a lyric? There's obviously the Beatles influence everybody in that capacity, it feels like.
Absolutely. And even playing within the show, we're constantly hearing new things and finding new things within the records that we've never heard before. So it's so much fun just to go through life doing that. You know, I can listen to Yesterday 1,000 times, and on 1,001st time hear a vocal inflection that I've never heard before because I just skimmed over it or you know, I was listening for different things. So it's never ending how hard we try to be as authentic as possible.
Crowds too. They bands that have been around even 15, 20 years start to see this, where people start bringing their kids. And like I said, I've seen, you know, two people that I can tell are in their late 20s and they're on a date and they love the Beatles so much. They want to see you guys perform. It's the nearest replication they can get, to a reunion that simply wasn't able to happen. That's got to be so fulfilling to see, you know, 8-year-olds sitting there and see 30-year-olds, and obviously see people who may have even seen or were buying Beatles releases when they came out.
Right, exactly. It validates what the Beatles meant to everybody and what they will mean to everybody for the rest of time, really. I feel like, you know, as our John Surgut has said so eloquently, there was all the pioneers of music, and then there were the Beatles. And after the Beatles, music kind of really began. You know, they kind of reset everything and created the musical foundation that we know today.
There may be a moment when you say, that's enough Beatles for today. What do you like to listen to beyond that, that's on the radio now, or even stuff that's 10, 20 years old? I'm sure it transpires once every blue moon or so.
It takes a lot. Yeah, it takes a lot. It sure does. But I don't know. I mean, if I'm talking about modern stuff, I like a lot of indie music, indie pop music. So, I mean, lately, it's been for the past like 2 years, but the record that's been on repeat for me is by Tame Impala, and it's Currents. And his stuff is brilliant. And you could tell there's a lot of Beatle influence in it and stuff like that. Otherwise, I love the 1975. Mm-hmm. I'm a pop junkie too. I love my Michael Jackson. I like some of the top 40 stuff that's going on right now. So I'll listen to just about anything.
I should tell you, I'm a massive Oasis fan. So Noel Gallagher brings his show here last week and closes with All You Need Is Love. And it's a great version of it. And when I first saw him with Liam in the band, right from the first album, they'd always end with I Am the Walrus. So they've really, that's an obvious influence. But Oasis, they'll say it a million times, that there's no Oasis without the Beatles.
Truly, truly. You know, even Dave Grohl has said the same thing with the Foo Fighters and stuff like that. I feel like every rock band and every pop artist and everywhere in between will always kind of tip their hat to the Beatles, because they were the pioneers. They revolutionized the pop world and the music industry.
Now, before you go, men and women will like this question equally, but the fashion. You guys go through a few costume changes, just a few, for people who haven't seen the show. A few facial hair additions and subtractions as well. Is there a set era where you go, really love putting that on? Because there is a little bit of dress-up happening in the show, which I think is really appealing for people.
Sure. I think we're up to about 6 costume changes within the within the show now. I'm really digging the new, we go into the Rubber Soul Revolver era. So we go into that bright paisley mod look, and I'm really loving that because it just feels so, so hip and so the Beatles, you know, and it's really comfortable.
Wear
a nice pair of slacks and a paisley shirt. It's great.
That's about as many costume changes as Elton John or Axl Rose in their own shows, I think. I think they go through 6 combined total on the last GNR tour. That was my count anyway. I can't thank you enough for taking the time. I'm so looking forward to seeing the show in a couple weeks. And for people who've seen it 4 or 5 times or people seeing it a first time, it really, really is something. It's so well done professionally, from the audio and video around it. It doesn't work without you guys playing the tune so well. So thanks very much for taking the time, and we love getting the word out on this.
Right on. Thank you so much. I can't wait to be back up in Canada in my favorite city of Toronto.
That's awesome, Paul. Thanks again for doing this. I really, really appreciate it. That was great. Really enjoyed that. Thank you for indulging me. Paul Curatolo joining us. And that show is next week at the Princess of Wales Theater, where it was 2 March breaks ago. Great time to go. You got matinees. You got evening shows. You got it all. And you'll have this song, I hope, anyway. Thanks very much for listening. Hope you can make it out to the show. You may see me there. And until next time, and there will indeed be a next time, my name's Greg Brady. You can catch me on Brady and Price, SportsCenter starting lineup 5:30 to 9, Monday through Friday.
You've been listening to Point Taken with Carolyn Cameron and Greg Brady on sportsnet.ca/590.